Welcome to WFUV's Take 5, interviews and performances from our New York studios. Learn more about us at WFUV.org.
We have a hunger to know that people were here before we were, looked at the world somewhat differently than we did, that there are other ways of living that we don't know about, and to find that, you go into the past.
The tradition of ballads in America and abroad goes back centuries, but you might be surprised that the songs also take a contemporary form. This is Take 5, supported by Rough Guides, smart guides for smart people. Hi, I'm Rita Houston. If you're not familiar with the American ballad tradition, think of it as a more artistic and insightful game of telephone. Instead of around a circle, songs are passed through communities and through generations. For some, the words and melodies may change, and for others, they may last for years. With essays from a variety of writers and artists, the 2004 book, The Rose and the Briar, Death, Love, and Liberty in the American Ballad, explores the ballad phenomenon. And one of the co-editors, Greil Marcus, spoke with FUV's Julianne Welby about the continued significance of these seemingly simple songs.
Ballads are part of the oldest American artistic tradition. They came from the British Isles. Some of them go back to the 1500s or even earlier than that. And when they came to the United States, before it was the United States, and migrated particularly into the Mid-South, into the Appalachians, whether it's Tennessee or North Carolina or Kentucky, these songs became the real aesthetic language of the people there. And everyone knew these songs, and they expressed the fears and the aspirations of the people there, these songs of death, of marriage, of betrayal, of escape.
Really dark themes throughout. That's what makes a good ballad, right?
I think so.
I'll tell you all a story about Omi Wise, how she was deluded by John Lewis's lies. He told her to meet him at Adams this spring. He'd bring her some money and some other fine things. He brought her no money.
What's fascinating about ballads is the greatest have lasted. They have lasted hundreds and hundreds of years. And so when somebody writes a ballad today, whether it's Bruce Springsteen with Nebraska or Marty Robbins with El Paso, they bring a sense that the ballad is permanent and that maybe this song will be sung in hundreds of years when the author has been completely forgotten. Maybe Nebraska will be there when no one's heard of Bruce Springsteen.
Do you think he thought that when he sat down and wrote Nebraska in the 80s?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I saw her standing on her front lawn, just a twirling her baton. Me and her went for rides in Tennessee. People down from the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, with a sawed-off 410 on my lap, through the badlands of Wyoming, I killed everything in my path.
Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska, part of the book The Rose and the Briar, Death, Love, and Liberty in the American Ballad, co-edited by Greil Marcus and published by W.W. Norton & Company. Hear this and many other exclusive interviews in our online archives at WFUV.org.
Take 5 is supported by Rough Guides. Information at roughguides.com. Smart guides for smart people.